Well, welcome, welcome, welcome to our 2009 Sunday School Christmas program. Just want to welcome all of you parents who have children in this program, grandparents, aunts and uncles that have come to see your relatives, those who are visiting, those who are watching on the webcast tonight, some in Duluth, some in other parts, actually of the country, wanting to see this Christmas program. And what a special program it is. In fact, this particular one is a very special one to my own heart because it's about those who missed Christmas. And you know, the kids are very anxious to sing, and Shanna Blotnick has done a great job working with them and getting ready to sing. Sunday school teachers have been working with your children. We have the adult choir under Julie Ballou. They're ready to sing. Daryl Patterson has overseen this entire program. Steve Demaray has worked behind the scenes and many others to make it possible. We just have a tremendous group of servants of Jesus Christ here that are willing to be used and help in many ways in order to put on a program like this. And what a nice job that the kids did in the prelude music. So glad for each one of them. But as you can see, my role tonight is to really introduce the program and to give you an idea of what this program is really all about. And it's about those who missed Christmas. Those who missed Christmas. You think of the first Christmas morning, we recognize that the coming of Jesus Christ is one of the most significant events in the history of the world. That God, the very God of the universe, became a man, was born. So unlike we would do things in the natural realm, for God's ways are not our ways. And as a result, instead of being born in a palace, instead of being born in Jerusalem, instead of being born with all the TV cameras and lights flashing, no, he's born in a manger. And he's wrapped in swaddling clothes, grave clothes, because he came to die for our sins and be raised from the dead. As we think of those who miss Christmas, I'm not talking tonight about someone who is serving the military in Iraq and Afghanistan who couldn't be home for Christmas. I'm not talking about someone who was incarcerated and as a result is separated from their family at this significant time we call Christmas. I'm not talking about someone who, in making the trek to the relative's house, had a car accident or a car breakdown and therefore they miss Christmas. No, we're talking about individuals who were there, individuals who were in Bethlehem, individuals who were nearby, individuals who could have been part of this Christmas, this first Christmas, who could have understood and appreciated and valued and even believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. But unfortunately, they missed what Christmas was all about. You see, like the preoccupied innkeeper. He was there. Mary and Joseph came to the inn looking for a place, but he didn't realize who they were. He didn't realize the baby that would be born that night. He was preoccupied with his innkeeping duties. And I can't help but think how he is like many today, who are just busy. Busy making a dollar. Busy making a buck. Or at least wanting to find a job, busy with life and its details, but missing what life is really all about. For you see, the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 12, verse 15 says this, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses." You see, life isn't about getting things. Life isn't about material possessions. In fact, one day, you and I are going to die. And in doing so, there are no U-Hauls behind hearses. There's no pockets and shrouds. You're going to die. And upon death, you're either going to go to heaven or you're going to go to hell. And it all is decided upon what you think about the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the innkeeper was preoccupied and he missed the significance, the value, the event, really, of Christ's first coming to the Virgin Birth. And then there was the paranoid King Herod. Well, he had heard about it. He had heard from the wise men who followed the star that there was a king that was born. In fact, he even inquired of his scribes where the Messiah would be born, and they told him exactly, based on Micah 5 and verse 2, that he would be born in Bethlehem, just a few miles from where Herod lived in Jerusalem, and Herod didn't even go check it out. But instead, Herod was paranoid, thinking, oh, another king is on the scene, and therefore I may lose my authority, I may lose my sovereignty, I may lose my grip on life. And I can't help but think that there are people like that today, thinking, you know, if I come to Christ, if I come to faith in Him, if I come to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior, I'm going to somehow lose out on life. When in reality, Jesus Christ said, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. For you see, the Bible is abundantly clear in the book of Ecclesiastes that apart from a right vertical relationship with God, man is miserable and life is meaningless. How many dead-end streets of life will you need to go down to before you realize that life is found in a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ? And then there was the proud priests and the scribes. Oh, they were so pompous. They were so proud. The Lord Jesus on one occasion said, except your righteousness exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of God. They thought that by their religious works and by religious tradition and by religious rituals that somehow they could gain the approbation and approval of God. Oh, how they failed to realize the truth of the gospel. But oh, they knew something about the Bible. They knew that God had predicted a Redeemer way back in the Garden of Eden, and how He'd be the seed of the woman, the seed of Shem, the seed of Abraham, the seed of Isaac, the seed of Jacob, the seed of Judah, the seed of Jesse, the seed of David, the seed of Solomon. And that is why when you begin the New Testament and you open the Bible to the book of Matthew chapter 1, you read how so-and-so begot so-and-so, begot so-and-so, begot so-and-so. Why is that stated? To show that Jesus Christ was the rightful heir to the throne of David. That Jesus Christ had all the credentials needed to be the Messiah. For you see, no one could prove that today. For with the destruction of the temple and its records in 70 AD by the Roman general Titus and the invading armies, all those records were destroyed. So no one today could ever prove that they were the Messiah. But you see, when the fullness of the time was come at the exact right time, God sent forth the Son, born of a woman, born under the law, that He might redeem those who are under the law. You see, these Pharisees, these scribes, they knew something of the Bible. They knew something of the predicted birthline of the Lord Jesus Christ. But instead of following the Bible, they mixed religious tradition involved. And they really missed it, like many today, who have religious traditions around Christmas time, and yet don't really understand why He came, or never have personally come to grips with what Jesus Christ has done for them and provided for them through His death and resurrection. And then there was the false worshiping Romans. Oh, they were pagans to a large degree, but they were polytheists in some cases, where they believed in many gods. In fact, eventually emperor worship would come into existence, in which they would worship Caesar as God. You see, in a sense, they had a place for everyone's religion. They were very accommodating. Like many today who want to say, well, there are many roads to heaven, there are many ways to God. We don't want to be narrow and bigoted and judgmental. And yet, did you realize that the Lord Jesus Christ said, regarding Himself, I am the way, not a way, the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. And by the way, I didn't write that. That's what Christ said. And you have only three conclusions. Either He was a liar, either He was a lunatic to claim that, or He was the Lord. And you need to come to God only through Him. You see, Jesus Christ is so unique For as you think of all the other, quote, founders of the religions of the world, if you would go today to their graveside, you would find their body still in the grave. But on the third day, Christ rose from the dead. He is alive. There is none like Him who has ever lived. None like Him who has never sinned. None like Him who died for our sins and then rose again. And that is why salvation is found. Not in a church, including Duluth Bible Church. Not in a ritual. It is only found in Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there were the religious people of Jerusalem. Oh, they were religious. They went through the right, again, rituals and traditions and so forth. They were right there. Bethlehem isn't far from Jerusalem. And yet, where were they? Yes, the shepherds came and worshipped Him. But what about the religious people? For you see, so often religion misses it. Because they fail to recognize that God is holy and that man is sinful. And while we can easily find five people we think are worse than us, do you know there are people who put us in the five category worse than them? And the fact of the matter is that we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And God is so holy that just one sin has created a barrier between God and man. A barrier that no amount of works that we ever could do could break down. A barrier that only God could break down. For you see, if we die separated from God, we will be eternally separated from God in a place called the lake of fire. And God doesn't want that to happen. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And you see, glamorizing doesn't change sinners into saints. It's not a matter of reformation, it's a matter of regeneration. It's not a matter of changing something externally or getting with it in your lifestyle. It's a matter of coming to put your faith in Jesus Christ who died for you and rose again. For it's only Christ who broke through the barrier of sin. It's only Jesus Christ who sacrificed upon the cross and paid your sin debt penalty in full. For you see, religion says in essence, well, Christ did some of the work to go to heaven, but you must do your end of the bargain. This is salvation by works. God says Christ did 100%. You see, on that cross, having died for our sins, He cried out, "It is finished." Our sins were paid for completely so that we could be saved by God's unmerited favor, in other words, by His grace. So the Bible says, for by grace you have been saved, how? Through faith. And that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Jesus Christ paid a debt that He did not owe, so that we could receive the gift of salvation that we do not deserve. You see, if God gave us what we deserved, He'd have to send us to hell. But instead, He sent His Son to die and bear the equivalent of hell for us so that we could go free. And He offers it to us as a gift that we must personally receive through faith alone in Him. As I've said before, John 3:16 kind of says it all in a nutshell. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that whosoever means you. And it means me. It means the person next to you. As God has no grandchildren, He only has children. And you must personally deal with Jesus Christ and decide in your mind whether you will put your trust and stake your eternal destiny on Him and what He's done for you, or will you reject Him by saying, in essence, "I don't believe you did enough." And then lastly, there was the apathetic people of Nazareth. They were right there. They were right there when it was all happening. They were right there when the shepherds came. They were right there when the baby was delivered. They were right there. But they didn't know, or they really didn't care. Like someone once said, do you think the greatest problem in the church is ignorance or apathy? And someone said, "I don't know and I don't care." You see, that is the way it is so often with people. They're just apathetic. And some of you have come to Christmas program after Christmas program, and we're glad you're here. You've come. You've heard this message. In fact, for some of you, you just endure it so you can see your grandkids. I understand that. And some of you are saying, well, later, next year maybe, I'll think about this, I'll deal with it. The fact is, you may not have a next year. You see, the fact is, the clock is ticking. And I have noticed as I saw some of you coming in, you know what, you are looking older. But then again, so am I. I can barely see you. We're getting older. And one day the doctor's going to say you have a bigger blow-up than I have a patch for, and it will be over. In one sense. But it'll never be over in another sense. For you see, death doesn't end at all. There's eternal life, and there's eternal death. And you see, the whole issue is not, what do you think of me? The issue is not, what do you think of our church? The issue is, what do you think of Jesus Christ? He's the one who loved you. He's the one who died for your sins. He's the one who rose from the grave. He's the one who gives you eternal life. He's the only one who can save you from a hell you deserve to a heaven you don't. Have you ever put your trust in Him alone? Have you ever accepted Him by faith to be the one who will save you from hell? Have you ever believed that when He died, He is God who became a man, died for your sins, and rose again? You see, Christ did everything necessary on that cross to provide salvation for us, and He's been raised from the dead. He's alive as a living Savior can save you. You know, just like chess, the issue now is your move. God has done His move. God has done everything necessary. God has provided salvation. It's a gift. It's available. He's offering it to you, even tonight, right where you're seated. But now it's your move. Will you accept the gift, or will you reject the gift? Will you trust in Christ alone, or you say, no, I think I have to do something more? Which says, in essence, you don't believe what He said on the cross. It is finished. And it is. And so I would leave with you this closing appeal. If you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ, if you've never trusted Him alone and what He did on that cross for you, tonight is the day of salvation for you. It can happen tonight. It's an invisible vertical transaction that happens at a moment in time, and it can happen right where you're seated right now by you accepting the truth of the gospel and putting your trust in Christ alone. Otherwise, you are going to be listed in the category of what this program is all about, those who missed Christmas. Let's pray. Father, thank You again for this Christmas program. Every one that has made this possible, we just commit the entirety of it to You now. Pray that You would be honored and Christ would be glorified. Believers' hearts could be encouraged as they reflect afresh on the Lord Jesus Christ, His birth, His life, His death, His resurrection, His gift to salvation. And our hearts and prayers especially go out to those who are yet without Christ, those who have put this off, those who have trusted their own works to get them there instead of the work of Christ alone, those who have not believed the Bible, though indeed the Bible's accuracy was proven over and over again by the very first coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we know if You kept those promises, You're going to keep Your salvation promises as well. For we know these things I have written to you who believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. So we commit this all to You with great thanks in our hearts, Father. And we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now the coach won't let me play in Saturday's game.
What's up? You missed the study group yesterday.
Can I get your notes? I'll bomb the test if I don't.
You missed the meeting yesterday.
Yeah, the boss says I'm fired if I miss one more.
Your plane is on the runway. You missed your flight.
Oh, great. Now I'll never get home.
I can't believe I missed the net.
You could have won the game for us.
Guess what? You missed the big sale.
You're kidding. Now lunches are going to cost me $150.
Have you ever missed an appointment?
How about a meeting?
Have you missed a flight?
What about opportunities?
What about Christmas?
Do you understand the true meaning of Christmas? Or have you been missing it all these years? Hopefully this year you won't miss what Christmas is really about. Welcome to the 2009 Christmas program here at Duluth Bible Church. This year's program is titled, Those Who Miss Christmas. Does this describe you every year during the Christmas season? Tonight, we invite you to consider the true meaning of Christmas. First, let's watch as our first and second grade class portray the story in Luke chapter 2.
Luke 2, 1 through 5. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child.
Luke 2, 6 through 7. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn.
Luke 2, 8 through 14. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
Luke 2:15. So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. Luke 2:16-20. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at the things which they were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen and heard as it was told them.
Life and death. shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn.
Christ is the Lord.
Oh,
As we think of those who miss Christmas, we can't help but think of the innkeeper. He turned away the Son of God because he was preoccupied with other people. Because of this preoccupation, he had no room in the inn. He had no room in the inn for what was really important, namely Jesus Christ. That's one reason people miss the meaning of Christmas today. They are preoccupied with the meaningless things of life. They are preoccupied with the shopping, baking, attending parties and school programs, decorating, traveling, and many other activities. They are so preoccupied with all the holiday busyness that they miss what Christmas is really all about.
But God demonstrates his own love toward us while we are still yet sinners. Christ died for us. Romans 5:8.
John 3:18. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God.
God did not send his Son to simply provide a good story to be told during this annual Christmas season. Instead, he gave his Son to die in our place and pay the penalty for our sins, so that we might have eternal life by simply trusting in him. Let's listen to the 5-year-old in kindergarten class as they sing about our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. Are you, like so many people in our world today, preoccupied with the meaningless things of life? Are you, like the innkeeper, so preoccupied that you miss the reason why Jesus Christ was born? Our world as a whole leaves out Jesus Christ, even at Christmas. Do you have time for him this Christmas? If he stood at the door of your home today, would you recognize and receive him? Or are you so preoccupied with all that the world has to offer that you would turn him away?